Thank you for joining us here at Truth and Love Ministries for this week's message, where it is our desire to connect people to God, connect people to their God-given purpose, and to connect this church to the community. We would love to hear how God is blessing you as a result of this ministry. So connect with us on Facebook at Truth and Love Jax, or leave us a message on our website at truthandlove.tv. While you're there, stay in the know with our weekly news broadcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Now here's the message, already in progress.
If you don't have a phone, we invite you to look on the screen, but you can download our Truth and Love app, and it has a wonderful Bible on the app, and it's a translation that I'll be most using this morning. But Matthew chapter 27, verse 46, one verse of scripture. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Let us say amen to the reading of God's word. This morning we're in part four of our March Madness series. Simply from the verse of scripture that I read, our topic is, my God, why have you forsaken me? So Father, we thank you for your word. We ask you to bless us now as we receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated in the presence of the Almighty God. My God, why have you forsaken me? As we've said several times, we're in our March Madness series, as we're simply marching to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. This Sunday is what we would most traditionally call Palm Sunday. It's a time in which our Lord and our Savior marched into Jerusalem, what would be the final time, on a colt, on a donkey. And there was people that were around him, and they were celebrating him, crying out Hosanna, giving him praise and giving him glory, cutting down palm branches and laying it before the colt that he rode as he went into Jerusalem. It's something about that particular story and that particular instance that always kind of hangs me up. The reason why our local church, no shade on anybody that does, our local church don't do the palm trees and the palm branches and things of that nature, because it was the same individuals that was crying Hosanna just 7 days later were the same individuals that was crying Crucify Him. So I know that we're kinging him as our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. But you must be very, very careful, must be very leery for us, and watch out for individuals who just simply crown people and be all in your corner and be telling you how wonderful you are. Because how many know people will turn on you just as fast as they possibly can. Here Jesus was marching into Jerusalem, and what you and I are doing is our purpose and our goal all month long has been putting our focus on the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We've been talking about what happened, what transpired on the cross. Next month, Lord's will, in April, we'll talk about what happened because of the cross. When we talk about he nailed it to the cross, whatever it is you're going through, God will nail it. He has nailed it to the cross. But before we get to the cross, which we'll celebrate that next Sunday, I want to key in, as we have for the last several weeks, what Jesus said while he was on the cross. Many people talk about Jesus, and I mean, you have to been living under a rock and our neck of the woods for you not to know the Easter story, the resurrection story, the crucifixion story. But you and a lot of individuals may know about the Christian crucifixion, of the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ, the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. But do we understand really the ramifications on what happened when he was crucified? Jesus was not only crucified, not only was he whipped, not only was he nailed, not only was he beaten, but Jesus had some sayings. He said some things from the cross. We talked about the first three already. We talked about how when they put nails in his hands and they put a crown of thorns in his head and they literally lifted him up and they was mocking and they were jeering and they were telling him, if you be who it is that you say you are, why don't you get yourself down? And the first thing that Jesus said, he looked up and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I've taught you that forgiveness is first of all upward, then forgiveness is outward, then forgiveness is onward. Here we must learn to always posture ourselves in a way that whenever it is we're walking in forgiveness and we're walking in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we never take our focus and our attention on the one that forgives us all. That's what Jesus did. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Then there were two thieves that was there that was crucified with our Lord. And the Bible says one of the thieves was saying, well, why don't you get us down? He joined in the mocking and the railing. And then the other thief rebuked him and said, leave him alone. We are here justly. But this man did nothing wrong. But then I told you on that particular Sunday, I don't believe in luck. I believe that you're either blessed or you're cursed, either saved or you're unsaved. But I just believe that this brother that was crucified next to our Lord was the luckiest man in the world. Out of all the crosses, out of all the heels, out of all the crucifixion, here it is. He's nailed and he's being killed next to our master. And he looks over to him and says, when you come into your paradise, will you please remember me? Then we get the second saying of our Lord. Our Lord said to him, today, not tomorrow. He said, today. He says, truly, you will be with me in paradise. The third thing that Jesus said from the cross, they began to divvy out all of his garments. And they gave the soldiers, passed them out amongst themselves. Then they got to this one particular garment that was a seamless tunic, the Bible says, that someone had woven or someone had made for the master. And when that transpired, the Bible says that Jesus locked eyes with his mother. And he says to his mother, he says, woman, behold thy son. And he says to John, the disciple that he loved, behold thy mother. And from that day forward, John took care of Mary. But here Mary standing at the cross, she's losing her son, but she's gaining a savior. Come on, somebody. I'm glad that our Lord and Jesus Christ, he said some things while he was there on the cross. And here, so we must understand what was going on, what was transpiring. And that's my purpose, to preach the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ today and tomorrow and the day after that. It's my purpose to preach the crucifixion, and not just the crucifixion, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because if there had not been a cross, if there had not been a beating, if there had not been a dying, and then 3 days later there was a resurrection, then you and I would be lost in our sins. But I'm so glad that he died the way that he died, and I'm so glad that he got up the way that he got up, because the fact that he can get up, I can get up. Because of the fact that he went down and got up, here that gives you and I all that we need in order to face whatever it is that the enemy is throwing our way. Jesus is there on the cross. I've told you that some 30,000 people, the historians say, some 30,000 individuals had been crucified. Jews had been crucified by the Romans by the time Christ got crucified. What am I telling you? He's not the first person to die. He's not the second person to die, but some 30,000 people. But what is it about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ that still has us talking about his death today? What is it? Even the thieves that are next to him that died that same day on that same hill, we don't even know their name. They remain nameless. We don't know their name. But what is it about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ that makes us still talk about what he did today? I believe it's found right here in this passage of scripture that I attempt to examine for you today. I believe that is the reason in which why we're still talking about Jesus Christ today. Let's dive right in. I got a lot of ground to cover, and I've already wasted 7 minutes and 55 seconds. Come on, let's go. Matthew chapter 27, verse 45 is on the screen. The Bible said, now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. Here they began crucifying our Savior at 9 a.m. Our time, 9 a.m. So from 9 to noon, there's how many hours? 3 hours. That wasn't a trick question. In 3 hours. And here in these 3 hours of our Lord and Savior being crucified, he said three things. Those are the three things that I just gave you. Father, forgive them. Truly, you'll be with me in paradise. And behold your son. Behold your mother. Those are the three things. And those 3 hours, those hours was filled with silence. And our Lord and Savior said some things, but only three things in the space of 3 hours. But then the Bible tells us in verse number 45 of Matthew's gospel of chapter 27, he says the sixth hour, at the sixth hour there was darkness at the sixth hour. So here, this is what really gives us the message. This is really what gives us to the thing that what God wants us to do, because here there's gross darkness, even as you see that the lights have went out, and here in a natural the lights have gone off, and that's what happened there on the cross. There is gross darkness. You and I, in fact, we see divine darkness. That's the first thing that we see here, is divine darkness here. That's the first thing that we see, is divine darkness. It's utter darkness. This is what God is saying to us, that here on the sixth hour, which is 12 noon, there is gross darkness. Jesus stayed there on the cross for 6 hours, but the first three, it was done in the light. The first three, he said those three sayings that I gave you, but here right at 12 noon the lights went out. Isn't it amazing that here the light of the world, as he's crucified, as he's dying, here it is dying in utter darkness. When he was born at night, and the Bible said there was a great light, but here as he's dying, the earth is filled with darkness, and the light of the world, come on here somebody, the light of the world is seemingly being extinguished by the darkness or the sin that is found in our world. The light of the world is dying in darkness. When he was born, there appeared stars, and there appeared angels, and there appeared all these people that were saying Hosanna, peace on earth, goodwill to all men, and all that kind of stuff. But here as he's dying in the dark. And here Jesus teaches me something here, beloved, that no matter how much work you do, no matter how anointed you are, the Bible says in Acts 10:38 that he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, and God was with him. No matter how much the hand of the Lord is on your life, no matter how much good you do, no matter how much people endorse you, no matter how much people say you're wonderful, Hosanna, all this stuff, every now and then we'll have some dark days. I don't know, am I in this thing by myself, that I've had some dark days, I've gone through some things, I've experienced some dark seasons in my life. And here, no matter who we are, no matter how much good we do, we will experience some dark days. But here Jesus is in the dark, but yet he's still doing ministry in the dark. He's still fulfilling his purpose even in the dark. Here, I got good news for somebody here today that let you know, no matter how dark your day is, no matter how dark your situation is, God will still give you the grace, the anointing, the power, the love to be able to do what it is he called you to do even in the dark. Come on here somebody, even when the lights go out, you still can give God some praise. Even when the lights go out in your life, the lights go out in your marriage, the lights go out with your children, the lights go out in your finances, the lights go out. Here it is, the lights can go out, but I still can do what God have called me to do. I'm singing with the lights out. I'm preaching with the lights out. I'm playing with the lights out. I'm loving my family with the lights out. Come on here somebody, just because the lights are out in your life does not give you an excuse to walk away from your work. Just because the lights are out, come on here, doesn't give you an excuse to be able to do and live however it is you want to live. But no, I got to learn that even when I can't see him, even when I can't see where he's at, even when I can't see what he's doing, I heard Job say, I looked for him on the left and he wasn't there. I looked for him on the right, he wasn't there. I looked behind him and he was not there. I looked in front of me, he was not there. But Job said, I might not know where he is, but I know that he knows where I am. Come on here somebody. And Job said, he knows the way that I take. We're talking about divine darkness. I got to learn how to be able to fulfill my purpose and fulfill what God had put in me, even in the dark. Oh my God. I don't want to assume that you've experienced some dark times in your life. I don't want to assume that even here today you're going through a dark time in your life. But Jesus, our perfect example, shows us how to do business in the dark. Here, Jesus is there. Good God Almighty, I gotta keep going. Here, Jesus was there, and the Bible says that it was utter darkness, divine darkness. But I got to be true to the text. That's good preaching, what I just gave you. I really gave you application first, but let me tell you what the text really is saying. Let me tell you exactly what's going on, because when you truly examine the verses of scripture and want to stay true to the biblical text, darkness is equivalent to God judging. Mm-hmm. This was not an eclipse. This was not just some kind of something that happened based on the time of the schedule of the moon and the stars and all this other kind of stuff. No, no, no. God turned the lights out. I got to move a little further, but I just want to ask you a question. What do you do when the Lord turned the lights out? What do you do when God turned the lights out? God is the one that cut the lights out. And God will cut the lights out in our life. Let me tell you what will cause your lights to be cut out. Lying will cause your lights to be cut out. Taking things that doesn't belong to you, stealing will cause the lights to be turned out. Taking and being with folk that doesn't belong to you will cause the lights to be turned out. Fornication, sex before marriage, and adultery. And come on here. See, look at somebody. Say, he gonna get to yours in a minute. He'll get to yours in a minute. Here, come on here. There are some things that will cause our lights to be turned out, because God is the one that turns the lights out. He turned the lights out in such a way here in the middle of the day when they're supposed, good God, when they're supposed to be sunshine, when they're supposed that when the sun is at its height, when the sun is at its strength, there's darkness. And here there's somebody in this room because of your sin, because of the fact that you just continue to do what you know you're not supposed to do. Here you're supposed to be at your zenith. You're supposed to be at your height. You're supposed to be giving God praise and giving God glory. And your life should be the best of times right now. But because of your sin and because of the darkness that's in your heart, you experience darkness when there should be day. Come on here, somebody. You're experiencing bondage when you should be free. You're experiencing being hurt when you should be helping. You're experiencing being broke when you're supposed to be a blessing and help other folk. Come on, I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but there's some times in our life that we experience some things and we're going through some things because of what we're doing. Come on here, somebody. Here the Bible tells me something. Whatever is done in the dark, it'll come to the light. Come on here. That's a verse of scripture that make me say thank you, and a verse of scripture that make me say, oh no. Come on, somebody. That's one of them verses of scripture that make you say, oh Lord, thank you. I'm glad you see my good. But come on, he just don't see my good. He sees what's going on at 12 midnight. Come on, he sees what's going on when your wife is asleep, when your husband is gone. Come on here, somebody. He see them little white lies. He see them little hairy lies. Come on. He see that little fabric, and God sees everything, and everything that's done in the dark, it'll be brought to the light. So God, even whenever it is that I'm experiencing divine darkness in my life, even whenever it is I'm experiencing being in a place that I should not be, the sun should be shining, but because of sin, we'll see in a moment, but because of sin, the lights are turned out. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but are your lights out because of sin? Come on here, somebody. I know we don't talk about sin no more. I know sin is not popular no more. I know that we just like to talk about naming it and claiming it and blabbing it and grabbing it and calling it and hauling it. But every now and then I got to tell you about your sin. I got to tell you about your self-existing, your self-inflicted nonsense. Come on here, somebody. Sin, self-inflicted nonsense. Come on, inflicted don't start with the I do it, but it makes sense right there. Come on, y'all, help me. I got to know that whenever it is, I can't remember what my point is. Self, what I call it? Self, something. That's something with the I. I can't remember right now. Self, what? Inflict this. Okay, that's good sense then. Come on. Come on, help me here. That's good. All right. I can't see. It's a dog and my equilibrium is off. Can I tell you to hear what God wants me to do even then when I'm in my sickness, when I'm in my sin, and when I'm doing something? I got to know the Bible teaches me that sin separates me from God. Here, many people, because they have a relationship with God, they live in such a way because of their relationship. They think their sin won't separate. They think their sin won't hurt. They think their sin won't hurt or hinder them, but no, sin will stop you from doing what it is that God have called you to do. I know we don't talk about sin, but I got to tell you about it today to let you know that your life may be in darkness because of your of your sin. The Bible says, that it's darkness. I got to get y'all out of here. It's darkness. And this is a divine darkness. Let me say this before I move to my next point. When God cuts the lights out, there's no one in the world that can cut them back on. When God